Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Has the trade war with China finally begun? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. We'll leave it to the historians to decide if the U.S.-China trade war broke out on this day. At 12:01 Eastern this morning, the U.S. launched tariffs on $34 billion worth of Chinese goods. Think cars, industrial valves, printers. A few hours later, China applied an extra import duty on about the same amount of U.S. goods, soybeans, cars, cotton, for example. The U.S. is trying to fix what officials see as a long pattern of unfair Chinese trade practices. I spoke to William Zaret today, the chair of the American Chamber of Commerce in China. Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we get to your reaction to, well, we now have tariffs here, you acknowledge there are problems with the U.S.-China relationship that need to be fixed?
Yeah, there are some serious problems. Unlevel playing field, lack of market access. There have been, in the past, actually quite some issues with forced technology transfer. And basically, U.S. companies here not being treated on an equal basis with Chinese companies.
So now a different, let us say, more aggressive strategy. What do you think of these tariffs?
Well, our companies in general are pleased that the U.S. is finally getting China's attention about these issues. And we really need to set up an economic relationship based on fairness and reciprocal treatment. But from the beginning, we didn't feel that tariffs was the best way to go because it's counterproductive, it hurts U.S. companies, U.S. consumers, and we're seeing a lot of that right now.
And presumably your members are following this moment to moment?
Our members are very concerned. We had a town hall meeting last week, and companies want a level playing field. They want this relationship based on fairness and reciprocal treatment. But they are really concerned, especially if we go beyond the first tranche of tariffs. They're concerned it's going to adversely affect their companies significantly.
William Zaret is chair of the American Chamber of Commerce in China. Mr. Zaret, thank you for the time.
Thank you.
Markets will have the government's big jobs report later this morning. Meantime, the S&P future is down 0.2%. The key index in Shanghai up 0.5%. Starting Monday, shares in the smartphone and electronics giant Xiaomi will trade in Hong Kong. Xiaomi is no Apple or Samsung, but with a market valuation of $54 billion, it is the biggest launch of a new stock anywhere in years. But the timing, given U.S.-China relations today, Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
Xiaomi is a massive company, making everything from cell phones to robot vacuums. And Xiaomi typically undercuts the likes of Apple or Huawei, often by a lot.
It plays on the low end of the market.
Santosh Rao at Manhattan Venture Partners says low prices on phones and other electronics have helped Xiaomi succeed in emerging economies, like India. But Rao says there's a shadow over its IPO that's scaring investors. It's been sued a lot for infringing patents. Ann Stevenson Yang at J Capital Research says Xiaomi makes a lot of knockoffs.
They're in the business of near copies.
She says these intellectual property issues drive right to the heart of the U.S.-China trade dispute. But there's a bigger problem. The business of ultra-cheap goods weakens the whole market.
It gets you an inferior product, and it's a value destroyer.
Xiaomi had hoped to raise $10 billion through its IPO. Since then, it's tempered expectations, hoping to raise $6 billion instead. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
I'm Shepard from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I listen to Marketplace several times, actually every day, because it's got the economic news and developments that are important to me. I donate to Marketplace so that it can be available to everyone, and I hope you'll join me in this effort. Thanks.
To join Shepard as a Marketplace investor, donate online at marketplace.org.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Texas has the highest percentage of adults without a high school diploma or even a high school equivalency certificate. A GED can be crucial for a job, but there are so many barriers, as Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
It's just a normal weekday afternoon for Jennifer Rico Pacina, mother of seven kids living in Austin, Texas.
So by 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm up getting ready. I head out to work all day. After that, I pick up one child from middle school on the way home. I pick up one child from daycare. I pick up two from extended care. Get home, cook, clean, do what I have to do, and then off to class.
Jennifer got pregnant at 17 and had to drop out of high school. She's now 34 and in a program at Austin Community College to get her high school equivalency. She and her husband both work, so they can afford it. On average, a high school equivalency test will run you about $120. But Catherine Dowdy, head of the adult education program at Austin Community College, says barriers in adult education are more than just cost.
We do not make getting a degree, a completion, a GED easy for students. We do not make it convenient for them.
Jennifer, for instance, goes to class from 7 to 10 at night. Some of Dowdy's other students work two or three jobs. Many have to figure out daycare and transportation. But Dowdy says one of the biggest hurdles arose in 2014, when the GED test went from being run by a nonprofit to being part of Pearson, one of the biggest for-profit education businesses in the world. Pearson made the test significantly tougher. Dowdy says her enrollment numbers plummeted.
I really think the most dangerous thing was the perception that it was more difficult. It was very intimidating for students.
Chandra Villanueva, a senior policy analyst at the Center for Public Policy Priorities, says why fewer people are getting their high school equivalency boils down to three things.
They made the test more difficult. They made it computer-based only, which created a lot of barriers for people who don't have computer skills. And they made it more expensive.
The privatization of the GED also opened up a new market for equivalency tests. Two of Pearson's competitors, McGraw-Hill and Educational Testing Service, introduced alternatives. But in order to track the different tests, testing centers boosted administration fees, driving the cost to students even higher. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And ahead of the NATO summit in Europe next week, President Trump has been pushing European allies to spend more on defense and take pressure off U.S. funding for NATO. During an event in Montana yesterday, there's a moment where Trump expresses annoyance the U.S. pays a lot of money for NATO while the Europeans make a deal with Russia to buy oil and natural gas.
So they want to protect against Russia, yet they pay billions of dollars to Russia, and we're the schmucks that are paying for the whole thing.
To understand that, you need to know the U.S. has been pushing Germany to drop a Russian natural gas pipeline deal. It's called Nord Stream 2 from Russia to the Baltic Sea. The U.S. says the pipeline makes Europe vulnerable to Russian meddling, but Russia says it's about Washington favoring U.S. energy producers. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for? help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.